We are joined now by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Lee Jenkins. We talk NBA playoffs with him and also get an update on the LA Lakers. Lee, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Lee, how are things?
Excellent. In Houston, they're trying to take a 2-0 lead here. Everything's kind of, a lot of stuff is kind of chalky. Not the Pelicans.
No, that's true, right? Lots of things are chalky, except that. Listen, I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about the LA Lakers, but before we get to that piece that you wrote on them, you did a feature, Lee, on Ben Simmons, essentially 2 months into his first NBA season. So go back and give me your mindset at that time. What did you make of him at that point of the season?
Well, it's just so unusual. I mean, you have all of these oversized ball handlers now who are sort of, you know, made into point guards, but I think he's probably the most natural of them. You know, when you talk about like Giannis and sort of those 6'11 guys who can suddenly take the ball down the court and make plays. But I think he's more natural. He seemed to me like so many players grew up they came out of the Michael Jordan era, came out of the Kobe Bryant era. To me, he's the first real star who was hatched from the LeBron era, who plays in some ways like LeBron James plays. Obviously not as forceful physically maybe, but when you think about the vision and the ability to make teammates better and pass the ball, so much of that I think came from LeBron. And also there's a uniqueness to a guy who, you know, really can't shoot from outside at all and is still able to put his imprint on the game the way Simmons does. So, you know, all of those things kind of made him intriguing. And then you add to the fact that Brett Brown really took that year when Simmons was hurt in Philadelphia and viewed it as a training ground to build a point guard, because I don't think they weren't going to do that originally. When they drafted him, they were going to play him in more of a point forward role. And that year really gave them an opportunity to revisit their thinking.
And, of course, Brett Brown was the one guy who saw that, Lee. Nobody else saw it. Everybody thought he was crazy when he put that down. But he saw that in him, and it's been great so far. Now, you've got a great piece up on SI.com right now about the LA Lakers, who, despite the fact, Lee, they're not in the playoffs, they are one of the biggest stories in the league because they've got those two max salary spots, they've got some great young talent, and they've got a key figure in Rob Pelinka, who you describe as a, quote, John Hughes character come to life. For those who have not spent any time with him, what's Pelinka like?
Well, he had a life of sort of incredible proximity to talent. You know, I wrote about when he was in high school, he was already playing against Michael Jordan in the Chicago Summer Leagues. They called it the Schlitz Malt Liquor Summer League. So, I mean, he was playing with pros, with great pros, when he was just a high school kid in Chicago. He's from the, you know, one of the North Shore suburbs, and went to Michigan, gets there, wins a national championship right away with Glenn Rice and Ramil Robinson. A couple years go by, and then the Fab Five comes. So this guy's life was really marked at a young age by incredible talent kind of flocking around him, purely probably by coincidence. Then he becomes an agent, represents Kobe Bryant almost right off the bat, 2 years after he became an agent. Ended up having Durant for a short time, of course, James Harden. So I think he does have some access into the minds of players and really superstars. Lakers made him their GM, of course, last year, at Magic Johnson, the president. Neither of them had really any experience at all running a team. And, you know, when you look at what they've done, they've successfully cleared cap space, and they have these young players. And I don't know that they get the credit for bringing in all those young players. The Lakers have a really good scouting department, and they've done a good job in the draft. And I think that probably gets swept under. Everybody talked about the free agent misses, you know, everybody they didn't get. But in that time, they did pretty well in the draft. They didn't do perfectly. Obviously, you would have rathered Porzingis over D'Angelo Russell. But a lot of those picks have turned out to be fairly valuable assets where the Lakers can now tell a free agent, you know, we're not just selling L.A. We're not just selling the banners. There are young players here. Now, what you think of those young players, if you think they are enough to go get somebody like Kawhi Leonard or enough to be a lure for Paul George and LeBron James, those are interesting questions, because it's not as though those guys are looking like the next coming of Kevin Durant, but they do look solid, right? And I think projecting that into the future is a trick for anybody who's considering L.A.
Lee Jenkins joining us. Lee, one thing about the Schlitz Malt Liquor League, I mean, that sounds too good to be true. Like, it's completely made up. What were those games like, and who played in that league?
Yeah, I mean, you had teams like Jordan played for Playboy's team. So I was looking at the pictures, like front of the jersey says Schlitz Malt Liquor. And the back of the jersey says Playboy.
That's so
and
good.
He had Doc Rivers and Terry Cummings with him. And almost every team had one, at least one recognizable player. A lot of times a guy from Chicago, like Kevin Duckworth, played for a team called Seduction by Rodney. Palinka's team was Luster Hair Care Products. So, and admission was free. So if you think about it, in 1988, summer of 88, you can walk into, I think it's Keating Hall, like Illinois Institute of Technology. You can walk in there for free on a Monday night and watch Michael Jordan play a game for nothing. For Playboy, representing Playboy.
Exactly. Lee Jenkins joining us. Best league ever. Best idea ever. Best league ever. All right, so if you're LeBron or you're Paul George or you're LeBron and Paul George, what are you seeing when you look at the L.A. Lakers? Is it a team that intrigues you as a possible free agency destination?
Yeah, that's the question, right? And it's a leap of faith, I think, for anybody to do that based on, you know, you got Ball and Ingram who are both 20 years old. And I think in a lot of cases, these players are going to have to trust sort of their own talent projections. Like when you look at these guys, do you see stars? Do you see sidekicks? Do you see players who at least, if nothing else, could be trade pieces? All you have to do is find one team with a star who is in love with Brandon Ingram, if you aren't. And I'm not saying that they're not. I think that they, as an organization, are really high on these guys. I mean, maybe they just say that to help pump up their value, but they feel as if they're on the right course. They're on kind of an Oklahoma City course, but they've also got this cap space and this lure of L.A., and that's why what they're doing is a little different. It's like, you know, there's the OKC model where you build young. Obviously, that's like what Philly did. And then you have the Miami model where you go get the big free agents. They're kind of traveling both courses, not knowing necessarily which one is going to come through, but feeling like whichever one does will have them on a pretty good trajectory. And then they also talk freely about the Boston blueprint, where you accumulate all these assets and you are the team that is in position to make a deal for a disgruntled player, and like Kyrie did with the Celtics. And that's where, you know, it could be a guy like Kawhi, it could be someone else. You know, I'm sitting here in Houston, and it's like that's what happened with James Harden. It's not as though the Rockets were going after James Harden. James Harden was the player who became available, and they were in position to absorb him.
Lee Jenkins joining us. Lee, you mentioned Kawhi Leonard a couple of times. So where do you think that leaves him? Do you think that he's played his last game for the Spurs? What's going to happen in that case?
You know, I don't know. And that they are clearly the kind of team, the kind of coach who's capable of smoothing a fractured relationship. They did it with LaMarcus Aldridge. I can't imagine that they're just going to say goodbye to Kawhi Leonard this quickly, this easily. I mean, top five players don't come along, as good as their scouting department is, they don't come along that often. That's not a team that's going to just go, you know, have its pick of big-time free agents. But if it does reach that point, I think you have a lot of teams who are going to be swooping in and have positioned themselves the same way the Lakers have. It's not as though the Lakers are the only team that has the ability to swing a deal. I mean, Boston will be right there. There are a lot of teams that I think realize that this is important in today's NBA, is being dexterous enough to move when a disgruntled free agent or a disgruntled player shakes free.
Lee, one last thought about the Lakers. I mean, in Magic Johnson, you've got an icon, you've got a legend, you've got an enormous presence. But in reality, what does he bring to it? What kind of gravitas does he have? As an example, when he comes into a room with a potential free agent, what is his pitch and how strong a presence is he really?
I think it's pretty strong. And I don't, you know, I never know that, right? Like, you never know, does Riley, like when Riley was in there in 2010, like, did they go there because of Miami? Did they go there because of Wade, or was it really because Riley dumped the rings on the table? Like, does having that sort of, that kind of dramatic gesture, that person who is recognized, like, how significant really is that? But if it is, then clearly they have as big of an advantage as you can have in a free agent room. Like, Kuzma was telling me about the combine and how he'd go around every one of these rooms. You know, you're in a hotel, and every team has a different room, and you go in there, and he's talking to these GMs who are talking about his, you know, his per 40 stats and kind of digging deep into his, you know, analytic profile. And he gets in there with Magic, and he's like totally intimidated, you know, just sweating through his shirt. But he walks in, Magic smiles, suddenly he's totally at ease. And Kuzma described it like he's put his feet up on the coffee table and starts telling his whole life story to the Lakers. So, you know, when you have somebody who can both disarm and impress at the same time. I have to imagine in these free agent meetings, that's important. I never thought, honestly, that these guys would make these huge life decisions based on a two-hour, three-hour free agent presentation. But it does happen. I do believe that Kevin Durant was swung in that meeting with the Warriors. So if it is that significant, then clearly it's not going to be a disadvantage to have Magic Johnson in the room for you.
Lee Jenkins, a senior writer for SI, joining us from Houston all over the NBA playoffs and also projecting ahead what's ahead for the Lakers this summer. Lee, great job as always. Really good to have you back, Lee. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jim.